Welcome to In the Jar. Let's get it popping. So I thought for the first deal here, we'll still throw some James Clear in here, but I've been wanting to start my day with some ancient texts, some timeless shit. And I've read Meditations by Marcus Aurelius before, but I've been failing to start my day with this shit. So, figured we'd start to potter with some random pages from Mr. Marcus Aurelius. Okay. First random page we turn to, first thing I see that's underlined is, to continue the same man as you have been up to now, to be torn apart and defiled in this life you live, is just senseless self-preservation, like that of half-eaten gladiators, who, mauled all over and covered in blood by the wild beasts, still plead to be kept alive for the next day, when in their same state they will meet again those same claws and teeth. I forgot to light my cigar. We went on a different deal today in terms of a little, I guess you could call it, jingle. And I damn forgot to light the thing, so let's get it. That's better. All right, where were we? A man following reason in all things combines relaxation with initiative, spark, and composure. So, I don't know a ton about Marcus Aurelius. What I do know is, in a sense, he's the father of Stoicism. Stoicism being staying even, weathering life's difficulties calmly but surely. Marcus Aurelius spent his days, I believe, in ancient Rome, and this book is a collection of his journalings. So, constantly reflect that on all the things which happen now have happened before. I think a main idea of this whole Stoicism thing is, you ain't special. And when you start to personalize life, when you start to say, why me? Life gets a little harder. You know what I mean? That's just my interpretation of it. And he will be indifferent if he looks at these things both as a whole and analyzed into their parts. The things themselves are inert. It is we who procreate judgments about them. I hear this a lot in my meditation practice. Meditation is not a place to go for some elevated feeling, some special type of peace, as a lot of the ladies like to call it, Zen. Meditation, from my understanding, is simply a place to go to acknowledge reality for what it is, without our thoughts or judgments clouding this whole thing, right? Our thoughts are going to come, and when they do come, you acknowledge them and you let them go. But judgment is the big one that's being addressed there. You should avoid flattery as much as anger in your dealings. Both are against the common good and lead to harm. There's nothing manly in being angry. Now, this is an ancient motherfucker, y'all. So this man was spitting things back then that still hold true today. Anger is as much a sign of weakness as is pain. That's interesting. Is pain a sign of weakness? Marcus seems to think so, but I may disagree with that. Anything else? This is the last one I'll do. The fear of pursuit of public opinion or some other such poor motive. So I'll read the whole thing and then we'll wrap up with Marcus. You yourself have many faults and are no different from them. If you do refrain from some wrongs, you will still have the proclivity to them, even if your restraint from wrongs like theirs is due to the fear or pursuit of public opinion or some other such poor motive. So, I think what he's getting at there, Marcus Aurelius, that is when we pursue things we can't control, right? The opinions of others, external outcomes, the way we feel even. I know a lot of folks that look for that social validation, and I can see it better than a lot of folks because I too was one of them people. I too continue to be one of those people in momentary lapses where I care a little bit too much about what people think of what I'm doing, who I am, how I might be perceived to the common eye. And it's just unnecessary because it's out of your control. And I think it's a deep-rooted issue in everybody because it's human nature to be accepted by the tribe. Not human nature to be accepted by the tribe. It's human nature to be wanting to be accepted by the tribe. Because our ancient hardwiring in our brains, right? I'm talking animal brain from way back, BC, baby. You know, if the tribe excommunicated you, you died. You didn't have food anymore. You didn't have shelter anymore. You didn't have manpower to take on smoke anymore. So that's in our ancient hardwiring. That's why public speaking seems to be so hard. Is that you want to be liked. We all want to be liked. But Marcus, old Uncle Marcus, he tells us, that's a futile pursuit, baby. So, anyway, thought that would be cool to bring that up. We're going to do James Clear now. So, this is this past Thursday's 3-2-1 newsletter. Three ideas. Wisdom is the echo of experience. Number two, early feedback is usually better than late criticism. Okay. Delaying the conversation or stringing someone along with indirect feedback won't make them feel better once the real issue is finally addressed. Nobody likes getting bad news, but everyone appreciates clarity. I guess, you know, he's kind of talking about addressing an ugly thing before it gets uglier, right? Number three, a simple recipe for finding opportunities. Number one, be pleasant. Number two, ask questions. Number three, engage daily. It's hard for a warm and pleasant person who is asking a lot of questions and engaging in their industry daily to not come across interesting opportunities. Simple, but not easy. I feel like I could be better at the third one. I tend to have some recluse tendencies every now and then, you know. Just part of who I am. I like to recharge out in the woods every now and then. All right, two quotes from others. One, entrepreneur and investor Paul Graham on fooling yourself. If you're trying to choose between two theories and one gives you an excuse for being lazy, the other one is probably right. Number two, writer and scholar C.S. Lewis on why small choices matter. Good and evil both increase at compound interest. This is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest act The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which, a few months later, you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. An apparently trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is the loss of a ridge or railway line or bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. So, I mean, I think that all points back to kind of what we read in it. Maybe not what we read, but the principles are the same of never getting too high and never getting too low. You know, and taking pride in the mundane things, taking pride in the little things and kind of saying, you know, what can I do that's right and helpful in this moment, in this very moment? And for me, it's reading this next one question for you. There are two ways to grow, by adding or by shedding. Do you need to add something or do you need to shed something? Okay. That's good, man. I read this newsletter live every week with you guys. And, you know, for those of you watching, I feel like it's some special time, you know. Okay, in other sports news, the Arizona Coyotes are officially moving to Salt Lake City, Utah. So, how did we get here? Well, the Coyotes owner, listen. There's people that want to make the earth a better place. There's people that care about the well-being of others and helping people. And there's others that not so much. Folks that are greedy. Folks that hang on to status. We just talked about that. So here's an article about former Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Morello. This is an opinion article, and we are reading this in real time. Arizona Coyotes ex-owner Alex Morello claims he'll build a privately funded hockey entertainment complex to bring hockey back to Arizona. Yet just look at the tax perks he's chasing. Okay. First of all, I worked for the Arizona Coyotes, and there's no one that spews bullshit from the top to the bottom better than Alex Morello. I never saw the guy one time in person in my year working there. Made a little whistle there. But there was a annual company party that I did not attend, but I was told by my coworkers that were there that Mr. Morello made a less than quiet entrance into the party, and he had a white booger hanging out of his nose while he loudly addressed the entire venue. I used to see his son, Alex Jr., every day in the hallways. He didn't make eye contact with me once. Don't know if the guy just felt like I wasn't worth acknowledging, but he was friendly with the women of the office. Rumor has it, or better yet, what we were told as employees, is that Alex Morello started his career running pizza shops. That's kind of odd to build a career so, not even career, I guess you could say personal wealth, so fast. And then to buy a team and take a hockey team that a whole city, you know, is really, I don't want to say invested in. Phoenix is a bit different in terms of how their fans behave, but there are a lot of people that care about it. So here's another article. Gary Bettman and Alex Morello blame Tempe voters for Coyotes' relocation. This is last year that this happened, where the Coyotes proposed an arena in Tempe, Arizona, and the voters struck it down. So instead of coming to the table, there's a video here, I'm not going to show it this episode, of Gary Bettman and Alex Morello taking a press conference together. They blamed others instead of taking the fall. I just, you know, I saw this slew of videos on Twitter the morning after the Coyotes' final game Wednesday night. So many fans in tears. People that care about it. One of my good buddies has the old logo of the Coyote Howlin' tattooed on him. And, you know, you let this happen. I just can't help but think, based on my experience working there, based on how many land projects, how many parcels of land, all requested to be publicly funded, of course, turned Mr. Morello and his gang down. I cannot help but think it was Alex Morello who they did not like. That's just my opinion. I remember it being a concern for the residents of Tempe when they voted on whether they wanted an arena there or not. So It really gets me in the jar, knowing that this hockey organization is moving from a market of 6 million people to a market of 1.5 million. It really bothers me that in my time working there, the lack of consideration for us employees definitely trickled down to the fans. Because if it trickled down to us, the employees, how do you think they're talking about fans behind closed doors? You know what I mean? The whole thing's just really tough, man. It's hard to swallow. All right, on to the next deal. Okay. Let's see. Anything else relevant here? Ah, this looks interesting. Jets Aaron Rodgers faced a potential lifetime. This, I can't confirm the credibility of who wrote this. It says Jets Aaron Rodgers faced a potential lifetime suspension from NFL due to suspiciously speedy recovery. That's clickbait. I'm not going to read that to y'all. All right. Next deal. This is the real deal. We're going to get in the jar here. Okay. So, this week, former Toronto Raptors D-lister, from my knowledge, I don't watch NBA that much, Jonte Porter got a lifetime ban from the NBA. Here's what happened. April 17, 2024, the NBA... announced today that Jontay Porter, a two-way player recently under contract with the Toronto Raptors, has been banned from the NBA. A league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games. What are you doing, man? Seriously, it's like playing a game for a living, and a good one at that, just isn't enough for you, man. What are you doing? Maybe he had some resentment because he wasn't making it in the NBA like he wanted to be. Shit, I ain't heard of him until this damn deal came out. The league's investigation found that prior to the Raptors' March 20 game, Porter disclosed confidential info about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. Another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay proposition bet with an online sportsbook to win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in the March 20 game. Okay. The league's investigation also found that Porter limited his own game participation to influence the outcome of one or more bets on his performance in at least one Raptors game. In the March 20th game, Porter only played 3 minutes, claiming that he felt ill. This is the type of shit, man. This is why basketball players piss me off, and I don't take any of the injury reports at face value. Due to the unusual betting activity and actions of the player, the $80,000 proposition bet was frozen and was not paid out. They got people watching that shit, dog. For real. In addition, from January through March 2024, while traveling with the Raptors or Raptors 905, the Raptors NBA G League affiliate, what a little D-lister this guy was, Porter played at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. These bets ranged in size from $15 to $22,000 for a total of $54,094. The total payout from these bets was $76,059, resulting in net winnings of $21,965. None of the bets involved any game in which Porter played. Three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets that included one Raptors game in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose. See, I can get behind a Pete Rose. Take out the fact that I'm a Cincinnati fan. Pete Rose always bet on himself to win or get more hits. This guy was betting on his own team to lose, and I think that speaks better than anything could to the fact that basketball players, for the most part, there's a rare few, but most of these basketball players these days, especially in the age of social media and all this shit, I sound like such a boomer, but I really feel this. I don't watch the NBA, man, because these guys don't care about winning as long as they go and get 30 and 11, as long as they're getting paid, as long as their face is on the Jumbotron and their likes are high on Instagram and they have Instagram models in their DMs. You know, these chicks these days, talk about caring what people think. These chicks will go after these D-lister NBA players. I mean, shit, the D-list is probably making more bread than me right now, but I mean, shit, talk to it in 10 years, boss. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, the suspicious bets involving Porter's performance in the Raptors' March 20 game were brought to the NBA's attention by licensed sports betting operators and an organization that monitors legal betting markets. So here's the thing, dog. If we were in 2015, this man probably could have gotten away with this shit. The penalty would have been much worse if he got caught because it was largely illegal. But due to the fact that it's legal now, you've got people that are getting paid to look into this all the time. You've got folks that are not only paid within the big betting sports books, but you've got folks that are on the outside spending all of their time looking at this shit. You know what I mean? So, Commissioner Adam Silver had some words. I think he looks like an alien, so I'm not going to read it. But yeah, man, that's what's going on On this side, the way that guy looks just kind of pisses me off too. Anyway, next deal. Rumor: Patriots are open for business with the number 3 pick. Not much more to it than that. Looks like they are open to trading that number 3 overall pick that they got. Maybe bring in a franchise guy that's already kind of proven already, right? Try to add some spark to that locker room instead of maybe gambling on a young guy that may or may not work out. So normally when these rumors hit the marketplace, they tend to not be true. I would also think that due to this news coming out, that other teams will probably take their offers less seriously because it's known that they're looking to trade it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do feel like there's going to be a lot of fireworks on draft night. I'm hoping that the Bengals trade for Justin Jefferson. But again, that's widespread knowledge, not knowledge, but that's a widespread rumor at this point. And due to that fact, I feel like it won't happen. But y'all can I can clip this, whoever can clip this after draft night, and I'll be happy to be proven wrong in that regard. I would love for the Bengals to have Jay Jettis and those three guys, Burrow, Chase, and Jettis, from that 2019 LSU squad, one of the greatest football teams in the history of college football. Next deal. All right, so UFC 300 happened 8 days ago from the time y'all will be seeing this. The reason I'm even covering it this late is because it was a historic card. Now, I bet on Charles Oliveira to get the dub, and it didn't happen. But at the end of, I believe it was the fight, it was definitely at the end of one of the rounds, Charles, who is known for his jiu-jitsu prowess, got my man Armand Sarukian in a Darce choke. And I remember watching the fight, and he's like sticking his tongue out, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, I didn't know if he was finished or not. I didn't think he was finished, but I remember seeing Oliveira stick his tongue out and being like, fight's not over. Like, you know, the other guy won more rounds. Like, what's going on? And he said after the fight that he thought Armand was out cold from his Darce choke, which is why he stuck his tongue out. Oliveira didn't end up getting the dub. I think he lost on a decision. And those Darce chokes, dude, they don't feel good, and it looked tight. So you know, I thought that Oliveira was at a good price, and he was at a good price for a reason, because he didn't end up getting the job done. But I thought it was a good fight from him, and the other guy across from him, I'm scared to pronounce his name again, was just too good. So, next deal. Max Holloway got him $600K from his performance. Feel like everyone who's relatively a sports fan on the face of the earth got to see that knockout. And it was so good, we're going to show it again. I mean, it's got to be the context included, one of the best knockouts of all time.
Oh my goodness! Whoa! Oh my goodness! An absolute stunner at UFC 300! Oh my god! Seconds to go!
Thing I like most about that knockout, barring that it was at the buzzer, is that Max Holloway up 4-1 with 11 seconds left in the fight, looks to Gaethje, arguably the hardest hitting pound for pound guy out there, definitely the hardest hitting in that weight class other than Holloway. And he points down into canvas and says, let's bang. Come on. Let's get in here. Let's get in the telephone booth. And this clip shows that a little better. He's like, I can't imagine being there. I wonder, this is a ridiculous thing to ask. I wonder if you could see into the future and you knew this fight was going to pan out this way, what people would have been willing to pay for a ticket. UFC 300, you're able to see what happens in advance, right? You got a fortune teller. What would fans pay to come out and see that in person? My price would be like 10 grand for a ticket. I don't know. But Max Holloway had a couple things to say about Gaethje after the fight, and none of it's surprising.
I was hurting him, but if I think a hurt line is more dangerous. I was on the crazy. Every time I hurt him, he had the craziest look in his eyes. I was like, this.
I wouldn't talk about that.
Nothing dumb.
I was he's standing right here, Chuck.
Gaethje, you freaking animal, brother.
How that's
you?
What he just said about you.
No, you're a freaking animal. Stop kicking my leg. You're such a for that. Thank you. God, you're the man, brother. I love you, brother. Thank you for taking the fight, brother.
That's the cool thing about fighting is that, you know, you can talk all this shit, and, you know, obviously I see this mostly from the outside, but, you know, you talk a lot of shit before, but after, it's just all respect. It's almost like too much where you're like, you know, telling the other guy you love him and stuff. And I feel like, you know, I said this last week, I've never been in a MMA fight. I'll probably never be in one. But I feel like you probably feel a special kind of bond with a dude after that sound. No ditty. I feel like you got a special kind of bond with a fella after you get in there and scrap. You know? So maybe Max Holloway telling Gaethje loves him. That says from the heart. I know it is. But golly. Historic card. Other than Aljo's fight. Historic card. UFC 300. Yuri Prochazka's, if I said that right, fight was amazing. Obviously, Alex Pereira getting a little cup check, telling Herb Dean, no, let's get it. Bang. It was a left hook, actually. Bang. Knock him out cold. You literally see Jamal Hill's eyes rolling in the back of his head. It was a cool card. So, next deal.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board?
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to Ethan. Beaumont's playing with the crowd. Say, you want
chicken?
I love
chicken? The announcers in this group.
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's the man of the people. He's the man of the people.
You did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Beaumont. Bro, I feel like I would, like, if I were him in that spot, I would, like, try to make it, miss it. I would try to miss it, and then I would, like, make it on accident. Because, like, there's sometimes a basketball, you know, when you're down two or and you're on your last free throw or whatever, like, you got to miss it on purpose to get the deal. And I remember one time in middle school, I was in one of those situations and I tried to miss it on purpose. I wasn't a great free throw shooter in middle school. I'm lights out now. But in middle school, I couldn't buy a free throw a lot of the time. And we needed me to miss so we could get a board and get another bucket so that we could get in the game, whether we were down two or three, and I made it. Yeah, so That's the type of deal, you know. I don't know what type of promotion the other team would be running. I didn't even catch who the other team was, and here I am, you know, not 10 minutes later after I was shitting on NBA, watching an NBA clip. We still love basketball around here. It's just the culture's changed a little, aversely to what I would sometimes like to see in competition, but that's neither here nor there. I wonder what promotion the home team was running. It had to be, you know, the away team has to make less than X free throws in order to get the free chicken. But I don't know, man. It's what it is. Next deal. Pretty cool. We're into the clips portion of the show. Hell yeah. I feel that. He wasn't fucking with that either. He was kind of like, I get why you're doing it, but he wasn't fucking with it. Man, you know dogs, when they're just laying there and they got them big haunches, boy, especially when they got some short hair, it makes a nice clean pop on their haunches. It don't hurt them, you know what I mean? But it's almost like irresistible. Maybe you stick a little hook in, try and get them to bite you, something like that. But you know, I got a little German short hair pointer, Jasper. He's been on the show before, and when he curls up in a little bun when he's laying down, man, he got them big old haunches, boy. You just want them. You know, it's not the same on his desk, but it don't hurt him. You know what I'm saying? You're telling him you love him, and you give him a good, strong pat, and that thing will reverberate through the damn house, boy. Straight up. So, I don't know. I literally saw that video like minutes before we started shooting, and hit home a little bit. You know what I mean? Next deal.
It's all on fire. I'm strong. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm louder than that whole team. They got like 5 people there. Look how loud.
Thought he said the N-word.
We couldn't hear you, bitch. Devin, your prediction, the outcome of this fight?
Something is wrong with this motherfucker. I'm going to tell you, no, something wrong with
him. I'd be kind of scared.
This shit not normal. This shit is not normal.
That's what happens when you face the Devin the Dream Haney.
Yeah, man. I don't know what the deal with Ryan Garcia is. I don't know what that boy saw. I don't know what he heard. I think he's probably got some sort of bipolar deal going on. You know, and it's hard, man. I've known people like that where they get really manic and like, you know, and then they're like down really heavy, and especially a guy like him that, you know, got as famous as he's got. You know, when he started coming after Sugar, saying he would win in MMA, that was when I was like, boy, you're high as shit, or you seeing some shit type of deal. Because, you know, I saw a video of him, and he was like, you know, like doing all this shit, and he like made the video, posted it. And, you know, hope he's all right. Bro, if he went out there and ate, I don't know. I don't think he will, but I don't even know when that fight's going down, man. I don't really watch boxing for real, but it's hard to keep your eyes off of this man, the way he's acting. I hope he's cool. Obviously, the media is having a field day with it. TikTok's having a field day with it. Twitter's having a field day with it. Maybe he's embracing it. I don't know. But, you know, it's got a dark feeling to it, right? Like he's trying to get hype one time or whatever, but it's kind of just got a dark feeling to it. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, being as famous as he is, it's hard to, you know, handle. So, next deal. Okay, so this is the Chicago White Sox ball game on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. And the tweeter of this video said that there's maybe 1,000 people in that stadium for a professional baseball game. And I know it's 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. But baseball, MLB, Manfred, do better, man. Do better. I love the sport of baseball. Me and my dad used to watch every single Cincinnati Reds baseball game each season when I was a kid growing up. It's near and dear to my heart. And it was honestly the sport that I wish I was good at that I wasn't. But the thing about baseball is that they make it hard as hell to access the games to watch on TV these days with all the streaming shit. Okay, they make it incredibly long. I'm saying season, right? They need to cut the games down a good bit. It's too much to keep up with. And then lastly, they need to let players post content from the MLB games. A guy I know, he was with the Diamondbacks, and he told me that any footage from his game, like basically he couldn't post his highlights on Instagram. And it's like, dude, how are you supposed to market yourself? Well, you know, what about brand deals? What about has to go through baseball and they're really strict about it? Well, what about your own merch? Yeah, can't do it. They have the rights to my name and stuff. That's just what I heard. Is that correct? You know, don't quote me on that. But, you know, I think baseball made a good move in making the pacing games better with the pitch clock. That's really, really been good. And so they just need to take a couple more steps. I don't know why they don't model what they're doing based on the other leagues that are doing so well. You know, the UFC is doing incredible. I don't know if your baseball, if you could really model what you're doing off the UFC. Obviously, you can't do pay-per-views. But in terms of, like, letting the athletes kind of say what's on their mind, you know, letting the athletes grow their personal brand so that you bring more fans to the game, right? It's like if you put a bunch of athletes in a room, the baseball players are least likely to be recognized statistically. And it's like baseball is a, you know, it's not like football where football is huge here and it's, you know, growing everywhere else. Baseball is a huge sport in a lot of other countries. That's why you got players that don't really speak English. So they got no excuse, man. They got no excuse. And even a team like the Chicago White Sox, where they're not doing well, it's, you know, Tuesday at 1 p.m. in you know, south side of Chicago, I believe. I think that's where their stadium is. Don't, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. You got no excuse, man. It's pro baseball. You got to have some people in there. And I get Chicago's got two teams, so, and the Cubs are a bigger franchise, bigger brand, bigger organization. But, I mean, shit, still, 1,000 people at a pro baseball game is egregious. It just is. I saw reports that the number was lower than that. But, you know, and speaking of players that don't feel like they can really say what's on their mind, there's this clip of Daniel Jones, quarterback for the New York Giants, that's going viral this week. And this is why.
Can I just start off with the obvious? How are you doing in your
look at his eyes.
And where do things stand?
Rehab's going well. Making good progress, coming along. Obviously spent a lot of time with the trainers here and strength staff, so feel like things are going well and I'm coming along well.
Talking Daniel, so then just to build on that, have they given you a target date of when you think you could be fully cleared?
Yeah, I mean the plan is to be ready to go by training camp. So yeah, that's what I'm shooting for and feel good about being ready.
Yes.
I just aura score is low. You know what I mean? I don't know why his eyes look like that. He has to just be chronically stressed and knowing that if he doesn't play well this season, that he's probably on his way to bust status, if not close to already being there. You know? It just seems like he has trouble handling the pressures that come with doing what he does. And, I mean, who am I to speak on that? But, you know, he's giving boilerplate answers. It's clear he's talking out of his ass. And I know what talking out of your ass looks like because I do it every week type shit. But it's like, come on, bro. Like, I don't know. I feel maybe some guys feel like if they let their personality go a little too much, that they're going to get reprimanded by someone in the league. And I feel like that's the dark side of the NFL's power. But I also feel like if you're playing at a certain level, because there are guys that show personality, but there are always guys that are playing at a certain level where they're sure of themselves enough to say, yeah, I can wild out a little bit, but my value on the field is so high that, you know, even if this brings dismay to certain people within an organization or within the league, you know, I'm insert name here. And football is like that, you know. Even in college, you know, there were some guys on my team that could be late to a meeting, and there were some guys that if they were 5 minutes early to the meeting, it wasn't good enough. They're getting chewed out. And I feel like you can guess which one was which, right? The uber talented guy was the first guy. So, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, a clip like that just kind of tells me that Daniel Jones is struggling. Next deal.
Wife. Life good. Wife fight back. Kill wife. Wife gone.
Yeeted her.
Think about wife.
My dog was quick to anger. Instagram accounts literally called Ride Wife. I clicked on that account and they just post the same clip every day. I feel like whoever made that video, if they made more, like different ones, it'd be fire, you know? But my boy was just hella introspective. He was quick to anger with his wife. Yeeted her a little too far, and he was thinking about it after. He was all toned up type shit, you know what I mean? So I think that's the last clip of the week, and it is. So if we hit you in the chest this week, hit that subscribe button for me. Be a friend, tell a friend until the very end. And there isn't one, because we're going to keep coming back, baby. We're going to keep showing up week in, week out. For In the Jar, comment, leave us a comment and let us know what you think. Had a little brain lapse there. We'll see ya. In the Jar, episode 15.